happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup.
And did you have a nice International Day of Transgender Visibility?
I was with family in northern Massachusetts for a big Easter dinner. None of us really celebrate Easter, but we like to get together and see each other.
I mentioned the International Transgender Day of Visibility because it was marked amid manufactured controversy.
Very manufactured, which seems to be having a little backlash, I'm happy to see. But we'll discuss that at the top. We will also discuss the mixed legacy of the late U.S. Senator Joe Lieberman.
That right-wing leader, Matt Schlapp, has settled the lawsuit against him by a man who accused him of sexual assault.
And we may have a settlement between the Disney company and Governor DeSantis of Florida. There are little wrinkles to it.
Best Buy, they caved to right-wing pressure to stop corporate donations to 8 LGBTQ groups.
And we now know more about the death of trans activist Cecilia Gentile, and 2 men have been arrested for causing her death.
This week was the 50th anniversary of the election of the first out LGBTQ official in the United States. Stay tuned to find out who.
Hint, she's still alive. Uganda's constitutional court has upheld the Kill the Gays law, most of it.
A lesbian power couple are 2 of the leading gunners in the defense of Ukraine.
I think there are a lot of gay people in the Ukraine army. The Houthis in Yemen have sentenced 9 supposedly LGBTQ people to death for sodomy, and 23 others to prison and flogging.
And I'll review Water for Elephants, the new musical on Broadway.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
All right, so Trans Day of Visibility, International Trans Day of Visibility, has been celebrated for 5 or 6 years.
16 years.
Really?
Yes, that's what I have.
Okay. Well, anyway, every year it's March 31st. But this year, guess what else showed up on March 31st?
Right. Easter Sunday. So, look, President Biden issued a notice or marking Trans Day of Visibility on the Saturday before Easter. And then Easter happens. And then the right wing pounced. You're replacing Easter with something blasphemous.
Defiling Easter.
That's just outrageous.
It's so intellectually bankrupt. It's such a lie. But let's look at the president first.
To everyone celebrating Transgender Day of Visibility, I want you to know that your president sees you. Jill, Kamala, Doug, our entire administration sees you for who you are, made in the image of God and deserving of dignity, respect, and support. But we know it's hard when there are those out there who don't see you and don't respect you. For example, the onslaught of anti-transgender state laws attacking you and your families is simply wrong. This administration is standing up for you against all these hateful bills. And we're committed to advancing transgender equality in the classroom, on the playing field, at work, in our military, in our housing and healthcare systems, everywhere, simply everywhere. Today, we're announcing even more steps, but there's always more work to do to end the epidemic of violence against transgender women of color and girls of color. To ensure transgender seniors can age with dignity, and to finally pass a bipartisan Equality Act to help transgender persons around the world live free from discrimination and violence. Above all, to be there with you. To parents of transgender children, affirming your child's identity is one of the most powerful things you can do to keep them safe and healthy. To any transgender American who's struggling, please know that you're not alone. To parents and children alike, please ask for help. And know this, you're so brave. You belong. And we have your back. God bless you all. Be brave.
Thank you, Mr. President. Now,
I just have to say, yeah. I know we've come a long way. I know we evolve in our understanding and our language. But it is impossible for me to imagine any previous president of the United States talking like that. Huh. It's really...
Well, when you have Corrine Jean-Pierre as your press secretary, I think you get good advice on how to talk about
yes,
these things.
Yes, and I'm sure that he did not write that statement. But nonetheless, it's kind of breathtaking.
It is. It is. And, you know, he did actually, he's a practicing Catholic. He made some sort of a statement about Easter. Trump sent out about 20 statements on Easter Sunday, none of which had any religious significance. They were all about his grievances, his personal grievances.
Always.
Always. That's all it was. Now, then the right wing, including Mike Johnson, the speaker, went after him because... they've banned religious symbols on the eggs for the Easter egg roll. Well, they've been banned for decades, including in the Trump administration. And this is the problem.
Well,
now, next year, Easter falls on Hitler's birthday, and I think some people in the GOP will be conflicted. I say that without exaggeration.
I think it was one of the women on The View who, at the beginning of the week, read a whole list of all the things that are celebrated on Hitler's birthday and next year's Easter, like pickle week and, a whole long list of things. And dared the right wing to call all of that blasphemous.
Hey, but, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, let's look at the next picture of what the GOP was saying here on a CNN headline. GOP slams Biden for marking Transgender Day of Visibility on Easter.
This is what I woke up to on Easter morning.
Yeah. Well, so they just... pounce on these things as opportunists to manufacture controversy when, in fact, it is a sheer coincidence. And why shouldn't you celebrate the Trans Day of Visibility on Easter?
Especially when you Christians keep moving Easter around according to the motions of the moon or something, right? The phases of the moon. This is what that's why it's not the same day every year. It's because the moon is in a different place.
Well, but it's always on a Sunday.
Yeah, it's the first Sunday after the something, whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, come on. That's all based on pagan history.
But it's just shameless. They're relentless, they're shameless.
Yes.
They're relentless, they're shameless.
Well,
I get sick of hearing myself say that. But I think very quickly the response overcame that. And, the core will always go after that. But I don't think they got away with that. I think it was revealed very quickly. And I love the fact that people are fighting back against that kind of thing. The fear is dropping of the right wing, and people are more willing to fight back.
Well, certainly Gays Against Guns fought back. They went to the Easter parade. You know, there they are in front of St. Patrick's Cathedral on Fifth Avenue. I saw this picture or a variation of it on the cover of the New York Times. And I didn't immediately realize it was Gays Against Guns, but that's their tribute to the Trans Day of Visibility.
Exactly. So they have the whole rainbow there. And... that picture shows their faces as opposed to the New York Times, which just showed the backs of their heads and
yes.
only a few of them. And you couldn't even tell it was a rainbow operation.
Yeah, but they made the cover.
It was a half-baked
they made the
operation.
Cover. Control Room, can you skip ahead to the rainbows at President Biden's fundraiser? You have that picture?
Yes.
There it is. didn't allow press inside, but somebody took a picture inside, and it was lit up in rainbows while they were raising $25 million in Radio City Music Hall.
But meanwhile, there was also a serious statement by our Assistant Secretary of Health, Admiral Rachel Levine, who is trans and has been a member of the Biden administration from the beginning or almost now. And she spoke out quite eloquently about how this was just a manufactured outrage.
She quoted Yoda, "Fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. And hate leads to suffering. And she said the more she's attacked, the more it makes her work harder.
And I also, just to play off of the discussion you had last week with Chris Cooper, thank you, Chris Cooper, for sitting in, absolutely. The thing about the funding bill banning pride flags being flown by U.S. embassies around the world, I think it's really important to emphasize what a symbol that is for people around the world and how important it is. It's not just that we like, oh, you know, it's nice that the embassies celebrate us by flying the flag. It's such a specific, important signal of support for LGBTQ people around the world, especially in countries where we are threatened with death or beaten up or oppressed. And those flags have flown on U.S. embassies in the most unlikely countries.
Yes, sometimes the U.S. embassy is the only place you can have a pride celebration in some of these countries, and they do, to the consternation of their hosts sometimes.
Yeah, so Biden has promised to try to repeal that, to reinstate
He's also going to pass the Equality Act, but it's going to take a few votes.
Yes, that's a longer wish.
Speaking of our transgender sisters, in New York, Bernie Wagenblast, the trans voice of the subway, the voice that you hear on the subway, rolled out a podcast and a visibility campaign, that's Bernie there on the right, called In Transit, that is being promoted in subway stations. The voice that has guided people in transit will now guide you to understand trans people. So that's Ken Lustbader there on the left from the LGBTQ History Project and some folks from Callan Lord. So a breakthrough.
Yeah, and something that wouldn't happen in a lot of other places, I think, given the right-wing backlash, given the violence that might take place against signs like that. Of course, we don't know that that won't happen here, too. But it's nonetheless great to see that on the walls of the subway.
And by the way, speaking of Trump, much was made that while Biden was having his fundraiser, he was going to the wake of a murdered cop on Long Island. And was warmly embraced there by the police. But, you know, help me understand why police embrace somebody who let loose the hounds of hell on law enforcement on January 6th. I mean, certainly the Capitol Police are having none of it and saying, God, this guy is a total hypocrite.
And is still supporting the attackers and promising to release them from jail. And having their chorus, the prisoners' chorus, sing the national anthem at his events,
I read a meme today. It said, you know, people keep asking, are we ready for a woman president? Are we ready for a gay president? Are we ready for a guy with 91 indictments and you know, who does all these malicious things? That's what we seem to be ready for.
I don't know if you read Mike Signorelli's blog, but he had an interview this week with a psychologist who went into some detail about Trump's rapidly advancing dementia. And it was quite fascinating and predicted that he is just going to deteriorate.
He has his good days and his bad days.
Yes. But his inability to speak coherently often, not always. Right. I myself have sat here and said that he can be quite charming in the way he speaks. But this guy was quite adamant about the fact that Trump is falling apart fast.
Less charming was former U.S. Senator Joe Lieberman of Connecticut, who died at the age of 82 after a fall. Now, this is a man who was almost elected as vice president with Al Gore in 2000, but the Republican Supreme Court gave the election to George W. Bush and Dick Cheney.
Mm-hmm.
But as a Democratic senator, he was center-right, supporting. Now, he did support choice and gun control, and he did sponsor the federal gay rights bill, but he joined 80% of Congress in voting for the Anti-LGBTQ Defense of Marriage Act, and took hell from Ann Northrup at a Barnes & Noble for it.
After the Defense of Marriage Act passed in the U.S. Senate,
1996.
Yes. We noticed that a lot of the people who had voted for it, and it was most vastly, how many voted
80%
against it?
Of the Congress.
I was going to say maybe 16 voted against it.
20. I mean, 80% of the Congress voted for it, both houses.
I think it was less than that in the Senate. I think it was in the teens, and including people like Paul from Minnesota.
From Minnesota?
Yes. And Bill Bradley, and a lot of people you would have thought better of. So a lot of them had books they'd written, and they would show up in New York at Barnes & Nobles to give readings. So we said, what a perfect opportunity. I think one of the first we went after was Barbara Mikulski, the Democratic the closeted lesbian senator from Maryland, and I went and yelled at her at a Barnes & Noble. She was extremely taken aback and fled the room, and was accompanied by, what's her name, Oates, who was also such a friend of David Mixter, who just was furious at me for how dare I attack Barbara
Mikulski.
Hey,
votes have consequences.
So Joe Lieberman was one of these. I also went after Bill Bradley at a Barnes & Noble, who ended up apologizing and trying to become my best friend after that.
And I'd be there with you on some of these
things. Yes, and so were a lot of ACT UP people and Queer Nation people. But I was one doing most of the yelling. So Joe Lieberman was at a Barnes & Noble, and you asked a question.
Well, I mean, he was doing a book on civic engagement and people's cynicism about, we have to win people back to be more engaged civically. And I said, well, what, you know, what are people supposed to think when you do things like vote for the Defense of Marriage Act, which seems like a very cynical gesture? Of course, for him, it probably wasn't. And this is a guy who once said that morality can't be maintained without religion, for which the Anti-Defamation League criticized him.
He was an adamant, total supporter of the Iraq War. He never supported or endorsed Barack Obama in either
opposed
his...
him.
Yes.
Well, he was a black man.
Yeah. Although he did help with the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
He did. That, and that was, if he had any sort of singular achievement for us, when that thing was seemed like a lost cause, he seemed to embrace it and got it over the finish line.
And then he killed single-payer health care.
Oh, my God. That's the worst thing.
Horrible.
He was always holding up the Democrats with a gun, saying, if you don't do it my way, you lose my vote. Because he ended up being an independent senator because he lost the Democratic nomination in Connecticut.
Very bitter. And you know, scolded Clinton for his affair with Lewinsky. I wasn't crazy about that
either. He opposed domestic partner benefits for public employees in the District of Columbia, although later sponsored them for federal employees.
And most recently was a co-chair of the No Labels effort to come up with a third-party candidate so that he could defeat Joe Biden.
Oh, look, he pushed Betsy DeVos for education secretary. He was a total collaborator with the Republicans.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So.
All right.
Anyway.
But much worse is Matt Schlapp, of course, who runs CPAC, you know, the Conservative Political Action Committee. He has settled a lawsuit, well, his insurance company did, with a Republican operative. Now, there's Matt Schlapp. And here's the operative, Carlton Huffman, 40 years old, who says Schlapp groped him while Huffman was driving Schlapp to a political event for Republican Herschel Walker in Georgia in 2022.
Who Huffman worked for.
Yeah, Huffman is getting $480,000 from this insurance policy. The lawsuit is dropped. Oh, Schlapp criticized the left-wing media for our coverage of it. He also falsely said Huffman had apologized, which is a violation of the deal that they made when they settled it.
Please. Violation of the deal. He learns it from his lord and master, Donald Trump, who violates every deal on the face of the earth, who's just trying to bait people into doing bad things to him so he can promote his campaign. By the way, Trump, you'd think he was still in office. He has Richard Grenell still going around the world representing him, talking to fascist dictators. And Grenell says things like, oh, I'm not worried about this phony concern about democracy.
And they're mentioning Grenell, this out gay right winger, as a possible Secretary of State at this point.
Well, better than Stephen Miller, who is going to end up God knows where. But he's not going to, Trump is not going to be elected.
Grinnell, for your information, is best buddies with Congressman Matt Gaetz, a total bigot, and Florida's anti-LGBTQ Attorney General, Pam Bondi. He also partnering with Jared Kushner on real estate deals in the Balkans. This is all against the law. It's against what's called the Logan Act to go around the world conducting our foreign policy when you don't represent the United States.
All right. Shall we go to
Disney?
Florida? Yes, Disney.
Okay.
So Disney criticized Governor DeSantis for passing the Don't Say Gay bill.
Eventually.
Yes. They had to be prodded into it. And then they found out maybe they were going to have some consequences. DeSantis got furious because no one criticizes him, especially corporations. So he went after Disney, and he changed the composition of their oversight board, and he just blasted them and did everything he could to kill them. Disney sued him for all of this, and they've been fighting now for the last couple of years over this. And now they have reached some kind of tentative detente where Disney gets to go ahead and control its development issues. Disney had canceled a $1 billion project in Florida to get back at DeSantis. But now they are going to go ahead with their development.
Well, and of course, DeSantis stacked it with right-wing nuts, including Bridget...
Oh, yes. Yes.
What's her last name?
Well, anyway.
Because, you know, the right-wing nuts. So now he's taking some of the right-wing nuts off the board.
Yes.
And putting people who actually know something about the industry.
That was part of the agreement. So the top two
Bridget Ziegler, sorry.
Right-wing nuts on the oversight board have disappeared. So Disney says, all right, now we have a chance of having some reasonable conversations.
But, you know,
but they still have a suit pending against DeSantis.
Many of the 400 employees of the special district have quit due to the toxic environment created by their new overseers.
Yes, yeah, so we'll see whether...
And by the way, today, the Disney shareholders are voting on an attempt of a right-wing hedge fund guy, Nelson Peltz, to get two of his people on the board. He says Disney is too woke.
Yeah, well, Disney seems to have beaten him back. Well, that's the word this morning.
That's the vote is today.
They have,
and then Florida's high court upheld its six-week abortion ban, which will drive even more people from the state.
Well, with any luck, it'll drive more people to the polls in November because they get to vote on abortion rights and they get to vote on a new senator. And
they get to vote on marijuana being available beyond medical marijuana. But those votes need 60%, and they are polling over 60% now.
Yep.
Higher for marijuana, for abortion, but it's 62% for abortion. So it's made quite the battleground. But there is a Floridian who won't take a stand on the constitutional amendment. Donald Trump will not say where he stands.
Now he says he's going to make a statement next week.
Yeah, well.
Don't hold your breath.
And, you know, speaking of bad laws, U.S. Senator Tina Smith of Minnesota, Democrat, has introduced legislation to repeal the 1873 Comstock Act that prohibits sending through the mails every article, instrument, substance, drug, medicine, or thing that could possibly lead to an abortion. It hasn't been enforced since the 1930s, but the Supreme Court is poised to bring it back into effect.
Alito and Thomas are talking about enforcing it, and that would get rid of not only mifepristone, but a ton of other things, contraception, long list.
Erotic material through the mail, all that kind of stuff. Yep. Comstock Act, 1873.
Yep.
Well, by the way, New York State is poised to get rid of its adultery law, finally. I mean, there are three states where it's a felony, I understand why Tish James, our attorney general, hasn't prosecuted Trump for that.
And staying on the corporate angle for the moment, Best Buy, they have donated to LGBTQ organizations, and their employee groups have donated to their employee groups are given money to donate as they wish. Well, the right wing can't stand for that, of course, and they started bullying and threatening Best Buy. We're going to institute boycotts. We're going to mess with your business. Look what happened to Budweiser when Dylan Mulvaney was put on a beer can.
And they listed about eight groups, but they said, let's leave the Human Rights Campaign off the list because they've got a lot of political clout.
Yes. So instead, they're targeting the Trevor Project and GLAAD. And
SAGE for us old people.
SAGE. And they're saying the problem with these groups is they support trans people.
Well, it's they promote gender transition surgeries on minors, promote an ideology seeking to mutilate the reproductive organs of children before they finish puberty. This is their line. This is what they think being transgender is all about when you're young.
No, this is what they want to charge so that people will freak out. None of it is true, and yet they have found the language that they think can scare people. And sure enough, Best Buy is capitulating to this.
They are.
Bad, all right. Bad.
What's all going right. on in Oklahoma?
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, the medical examiner finally issued the full autopsy report and claimed there were no severe head injuries. There's some dispute about that. Says there was a high percentage of Benadryl in Nex Benedict's body, less Prozac, but some, and that there were bits and pieces of things that could be interpreted as suicide notes. Now, GLAAD, HRC, others are saying this is not full information. We need more. There really was evidence of a lot of trauma from the beating. And even if this were a suicide situation, that doesn't mean it wasn't provoked or influenced right. by the beating, by the relentless bullying that had taken place for a long time. Also, it turns out that we knew Nex had a complicated family situation. And what's emerging is that Nex was probably sexually abused by their bio father, who's in prison for sexual assault. And Nex was living with and raised by their grandparents, who were all may or may not have been really appropriate guardians. So it's a very complicated situation, but no one is satisfied that anyone should be exonerated in this. And the medical examiner's report, which attempts to discount the impact of the beating and the bullying is...
And the whole bullying atmosphere in Oklahoma.
Which leads us to Ryan Walters, the Department of Education...
Superintendent of schools.
Yes. This is actually my favorite thing of the week. So they have these regular meetings of the Department of Education, public meetings, but they hold them in small rooms and only 10 people from the public can testify. Well, even that was too much for Ryan Walters this month. They locked the doors the night before. You can sort of see there are zip ties and, electrical cords tied around the doors so that people have to wait outside in the cold and the rain. And they were actually forbidden to wait outside this time. Usually they wait, but they were told they couldn't. Some showed up anyway and found these locked doors. So,
don't they have an open meetings law in Oklahoma?
We have established, Andy, that the right-wing Republicans follow no laws.
Well, so what happened?
So Superintendent Ryan Walters in this tiny room said that radical left-wing activists have lied about Nex Benedict to support their political agenda. And he said, I will never back down to a woke mob. Conservatives are under attack. And it turns out the reason he's not apologizing and not being a compassionate human being and not dealing with the bullying or anything else is he is someone who is backed by billionaires who are trying to get rid of public schools in Oklahoma and turn it all into a private probably sure. religiously based school system.
And the Supreme Court will not stop them.
So this has nothing to do with him addressing bullying concerns or anything. This is about him standing like a rock wall against any of these conversations because the billionaires, the Koch brothers, the Waltons from Arkansas, the, you know, Walmart people, just want to change, get rid of the whole public school
system.
Well,
I told you, my niece taught at Central High School in Little Rock for decades, and she left the country over what they've done to the schools.
And it's only going to get worse if they have the power.
All right, but better news from Wisconsin, where Governor Tony Evers vetoed the Republican trans sports ban bill.
And anti-LGBT curriculum bill, too. There were two of them. Okay. So we love Tony Evers. He keeps standing up for us. And we love the court in Colorado, which has mandated better housing opportunities and medical care for trans inmates in prisons.
A couple of stories from Tennessee. The House there passed a bill permitting anti-LGBTQ foster and adoptive parents, putting LGBTQ children at risk. But a federal judge down there, Waverly...
Wait a minute. Repeat that.
I'm saying in Tennessee, they passed a bill that allows anti-LGBTQ people to be parents and foster parents.
Yes, that's not good news.
No, I didn't say it was good news.
Okay.
I said we have a couple of stories from Tennessee.
Okay.
Then the better story.
We'll sort this out.
The better story is that the federal judge in Tennessee, Waverly Crenshaw, we have a picture of him, ruled that a trans boy can try out for his high school golf team, despite the anti-trans law in the state. This was at Farragut High School in Knoxville. The judge cited the Equal Protection Clause. The plaintiff had been on a girls' team in middle school, sought to compete as a boy. As he transitioned, Tennessee law prohibits trans athletes from competing consistent with their gender identities. But at the school, everybody treated him as a boy, and he used the boys' restrooms, and he didn't want to be the only boy competing on the girls' team.
Exactly.
Judge Crenshaw is an Obama appointee.
And sees the logic of that.
And you can't, and don't give me any, you know, golf is not a contact sport, if any of people are worried about that.
With any luck, occasionally.
Well.
Yeah.
Unless you come into contact with a ball coming across the fairway from another place,
Purposefully or unpurposefully. A little more news has emerged about the death of Cecilia Gentile, the trans activist here in New York who died a couple of months ago. And the cause of death was not revealed at the time, but they had that whole memorial at St. Patrick's Cathedral, which turned into a real mess.
Easter parade.
Yes. And the church then got very angry about what had happened. But now they have arrested two men for supplying her with fentanyl-based heroin.
Deadly doses. Yeah. Two guys. One of them was also charged with unlawful gun possession. Gentile's friend, Sayan Dorshow, Kayan Dorshow, tried to get law enforcement to seal the record of how Gentile died and said it's nobody's business. But when somebody is killed, it is the state's business.
Yep.
The alleged perpetrators faced 20 years to life. Although one of their lawyers says, I'm a total fierce advocate for trans rights. Well, you helped kill Cecilia Gentile with your client.
Yeah. By the way, USA Today had a lovely feature on trans athletes. I should have attached this to the Tennessee golfer story, where they interviewed four young trans athletes. We're going to link to that in our show note because it's just wonderful to have them have the chance to speak as trans athletes, both male and female.
And if you'd like to get our weekly show note that goes out usually on Wednesday nights, go to gayusatv.org and you can sign up. In Kansas, the legislature passed a bill requiring age verification to access LGBTQ content. It defines material harmful to minors as acts of homosexuality. enforcement is in the hands of their horrible attorney general, Chris Kolbach. It allows parents to sue content providers if their kids access LGBTQ content and get $50,000. Hey, Johnny, go access some content. We can make some money here.
And it used to be you just went to the library and looked at the dictionary.
And have you heard about how Ohio, the ACLU, is suing against the GOP amendment to the Constitution targeting gender-affirming care? They say it violates a previous amendment that was passed in Ohio that says you can't impose a penalty for the sale or purchase of health care or insurance. And in other words, previous things that they passed against the ACA are going to help them in getting transgender care covered.
Silver lining. Well, I wish that applied in Idaho, which has banned medical care for all trans people, minors, adults, everybody. You are not allowed to be trans in Idaho now. Terrible. But in Georgia, the good news from Georgia is that the legislature managed to adjourn without passing 20 anti-LGBTQ bills that had been filed. Also, anti-LGBTQ bills have failed in Florida, West Virginia, and Arizona. I'm telling you, the tide is turning little by little.
All right. Should we talk about...
But also in Georgia, I assume you celebrate the two trans women who climbed a 250-foot-tall crane as a protest of not only anti-trans laws, but the Cop City construction that's going on. This is a huge training facility they're building outside Atlanta for the police. Tremendously controversial. One activist who'd been involved in the protests got shot dead by the police in the middle of a protest. People are seeing this as a training facility for very violent cops. The cops and the government, of course, say, no, this is needed training, so they don't do bad things. But the subject of enormous controversy in Atlanta. So those two trans women climb this huge crane to sit in for a while protesting.
We lost a member of the Cockettes.
Rumi
Misabu, a founding member of the San Francisco-based drag spectacle known as the Cockettes. It was an experimental psychedelic theater and art scene. The Cockettes were known for pushing the boundaries of drag and sexuality and exploring gender fluidity from the 1960s on.
Yeah, Rumi started his career on the Disney lot. He was in a couple of Disney movies as a child and then moved on to the sort of hippie psychedelic world and was, and because he'd been a Disney performer, he had a lot of skills that not everybody had. So he could sing and dance in these crazy performances that were sometimes organized and sometimes not. He sort of dropped out, more or less, for about 40 years.
You can see Misabu in documentaries, The Cockettes, Uncle Bob.
He was a very free spirit. He'd been sick with COPD for years, finally died, I think, of cancer, but very avant-garde and a much beloved figure, very sweet guy. And their motto, the Cockettes, was free theater for the free world. It was really a moment in time that is pretty lost now.
Okay. Now the revelation. This is the 50th anniversary of the election of the first out LGBTQ official in the nation in Ann Arbor, Michigan. It was, we have a picture, Kathy
Kovachenko. Kozachenko,
who is still alive at 71 and very much alive. She was elected to the Ann Arbor City Council in 1974 as a University of Michigan student at the age of 21. Now, she lives in Pittsburgh now, but she says she's pained to see some of our gains under attack or being erased. We have to do the work again.
Well, you know, people tend to think that Harvey Milk was the first because he got all the publicity.
Famous.
Yes.
Big city.
Yeah.
Relatively.
He was elected in 1977, I believe, and then assassinated in 78.
Yeah.
But there are several who came before. L.A. Noble in Boston, first elected, out person elected to the state legislature in Massachusetts. But the first elected as an out person was Kathy Kosachenko. There were a couple of people who'd been elected earlier and who came out as elected officials.
Alan Speer, a state senator in Minnesota, did that.
Yeah. And a couple of others, I think, in Michigan. But Kathy was the first to stand up and say, I am a lesbian, I am running for office, and got herself elected.
And Ann Arbor was a very liberal town before Kathy even got on the city council. They enacted the first gay rights ordinance in the country.
Yeah.
I mean, it was first introduced in New York. We didn't pass it until 1986.
And Wisconsin was the first to pass a statewide.
Oh, yes.
Okay. All right. So congratulations, Kathy. Delighted to still have you around and still fighting the progressive fight.
How are we doing on time?
We're doing what?
Well, I'll save that till later. All that data on religion. If we need it,
we should go. Data on religion.
We should go to Uganda.
International news, yes, Uganda.
The Constitutional Court has declined to nullify the Anti-Homosexuality Act of 2023, the Kill the Gays law. Ugandan leader Frank Mugisha says it's enormously sad, and that they will appeal to the higher court, the Supreme Court. This law was passed with only two dissents in the parliament. Passage has led to increased harassment and violence against people perceived to be LGBTQ, evictions from their homes, beatings from family members, forced anal examinations, forcing people to flee the country, often to go to places like Kenya, which aren't necessarily so great, but that's an option. And that Kenya's thinking of closing the border to them.
So they struck down a few provisions. They upheld most of the law. They struck down a provision that penalized people for leasing homes to gay people. All that does is protect the straight people who were subject to penalty if they did were found to do that. And they struck down a provision about being able to have sex with terminally ill people. And a provision.
Give them a break!
And a provision that mandated reporting LGBTQ people to authorities, again, protecting straight people who could otherwise be prosecuted for not reporting them. They kept the death penalty for aggravated homosexuality. They kept the part that says you cannot talk about homosexuality, like the Russian no promo homo law. And kept the provision that outlawed LGBTQ organizations.
Well, Ghana has passed a similar law, and it's sort of sitting at their high court, and the president of Ghana is waiting for them to decide about it.
Yeah.
And this week, you know, sometimes we get calls from out of the blue. I got a call from a guy in Ghana asking me to marry him. I mean, he's serious.
Yes. He wants a way out.
I said, well, we're not that kind of, we're just a television show. I mean, I'll refer you to these groups that try to help people with immigration and things. He kept texting, just have somebody marry me and bring me to America.
Yeah. Heartbreaking. Also heartbreaking is what's happening in Yemen. Where the Houthi court, the Houthis are in power in Yemen these days, and they are a very dangerous group. They convicted 32 men of sodomy.
Nine have been sentenced to death by stoning or crucifixion. 23 more convicted on sodomy-related charges got prison sentences of up to 10 years. Three were sentenced to public flogging.
Yeah.
Now, Human Rights Watch said that the trials were conducted without a semblance of due process.
Of course, this is
what happens with these laws.
Mm-hmm.
You just point at somebody you don't like and say homosexual, mm-hmm. and you get rid of them.
Mm-hmm. Now, there is a group in Africa called Project Not Alone that whose work is about getting people released who have been convicted just of sodomy or homosexuality. And they managed to get 12 people out of jail last year.
And a 13th this year, just now. They're sponsored by the Erasing 76 Crimes website and the U.S.-based St. Paul's Foundation for International Reconciliation. So they've done all this work on a budget of under $10,000.
Project Not Alone.
In Ukraine, the top sniper and machine gunner taking on Putin's army are a lesbian couple.
Of course they are.
Olga, a highly trained killer known as Ulster, 24 years old, a sniper for the last 10 months with a girlfriend who was a machine gunner. Olga wants to show these Wagner monsters, the Wagner group that does a lot of the fighting, that they do not belong here. You know, Russia has lost 400,000 soldiers in this war, but they doesn't seem to...
Endless supply.
Doesn't seem to bother them.
And we get mixed reports from Ukraine. On the one hand, we hear about a lot of LGBTQ people in the army there and how that has put pressure on the Ukraine government to pass better laws for LGBTQ rights. And then we also hear about continuing harassment of LGBTQ people in Ukraine. So it's a mixed bag, but it's nice to, I mean, it's not nice to read any story about killing in any way on any side, but the courage and bravery of these people who are defending their country is inspiring.
Okay.
Also in Thailand, an update on marriage legalization. We told you it passed in the House last week. Now it's advancing in the Senate in Thailand. It has to go through two more Senate votes. Oh, the next one isn't until July, I think, and then there has to be one after that. But everything seems on track to legalize.
Passed overwhelmingly in the House.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, as we know from here, the Senate can be a different story.
Yeah.
And congratulations to out gay Adam Crafton, who is a sports writer in the UK. He's on the left there in this picture. And he just won an award for Sports Writer of the Year from the Sports Journalism Association there. This is not the Gay Sports Journalism Association. This is the National Sports Journalism Association. He covers soccer, football, whatever you want to call it, and he won the award as Sports Writer of the Year.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
All right, health news. Mpox, it was almost vanquished last year. Everybody changed their behavior and got vaccinated, but there was a big 2022 outbreak, but it's showing signs of returning this year, particularly in New York City. As of March 23rd, 113 people have confirmed cases here, which is more than triple the 30 documented in all of last year.
That's a lot.
So in 2022, there were 4,000 who contracted it, mostly in New York City. Nationwide, the CDC reports this year 576 cases compared to 298 of all of last year. In December, a more transmissible form of Mpox was discovered in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Now, the U.S. has seen a total of 32,000-plus cases and 58 deaths from Mpox, mostly of immunocompromised people. A vaccine is available. A two-dose regimen is needed, and gay and bi men and trans and non-binary people who are sexually active are particularly at risk.
Well, one of the things that slowed down this epidemic when it first appeared was the publicity drew many gay men to get the vaccine. After the experience of HIV and COVID, people just flooded the health clinics to get the vaccine, and that was really effective. But two new studies out of Sweden and the Netherlands are showing that the vaccine loses its efficacy quite fast. So they're talking about needing booster shots. If you think you're protected because you've had the two shots, really investigate that, because you may need more boosters.
Is that going to mean another two-shot regimen?
I don't know the answer
to
that.
Well, we'll try to find out and get back to you.
I'm
but in the meantime, get your booster. Don't wait.
And if you haven't had it, go get the two shots. Take it seriously. Yeah. All right. Internet entertainment news?
Well, I saw the musical, Water for Elephants. I had not seen the movie or read the book by Sarah Grun. But it's, you know, it's mostly about a love triangle in a circus troupe in the Depression. There's young Jacob, Grant Gustin, there on the left, falling in love with the wife, Isabella McCalla, of the stern ringmaster, Paul Alexander Nolan, who, despite being a villain, is the guy in the middle. He's probably most likely to be Tony nominated. And it co-stars an elephant, Rosie. The music is by...
I bet it's not a real elephant.
No, it seemed pretty real. No, the music is by Pig... is not by a particular person, but by Pigpen Theater Company. And...
that's cute.
Very true. The music's very true to the era, because I hate most Broadway scores. They're just all samey. You can't remember them. This was nice. And... so better than typical Broadway fare. And they have all these circus performers on the stage who are jumping around all the time to keep you amused.
Okay.
Rex Reed hated it. Jesse Green loved it.
Well, we'll see what people think of the Little Shop of Horrors production off Broadway. It's on now, right? And it's it's popular.
Ongoing. People, yeah.
Well, Jinx Monsoon is coming into it as Audrey. Jinx has been a two-time winner on RuPaul's Drag Race, very popular performer, and in fact had a big success playing Mama Morton in Chicago on Broadway a little while ago, but is now coming into Little Shop of Horrors, if that is appealing to you. Also in our, what I like to think of as our ongoing coverage of game show LGBTQ stuff, Jeopardy had a whole LGBTQ category last week.
I missed this.
Yes, LGBTQ writers and their works. All five answers were this. So I'm going to run through them for you. The first one, I just have the answers here.
One of them was Harvey Fierstein because it was posted
online. The $200 one, the answer was Delaware. What could that have been? Maybe it was about Sarah McBride, the trans elected official. Has she written an autobiography? Maybe. The $400 one was about RuPaul and his autobiography. The $600 one was Alison Bechdel's...
Fun Home?
About her rule about the Bechdel rule that... you know, the Bechdel rule is two women who are talking about something that doesn't include men. Reading Jail was the $800 one.
Oscar Wilde.
And Harvey was the $1,000 answer.
What? Harvey, yeah. And did they get it?
They got every last one of them. It may have been one person who got them all, but they got every... first of all, they all avoided the category. It was the last category they approached.
Come on.
And
we would have jumped in, but of course I would have been very embarrassed if I missed any.
Yes, of course you would have jumped in. But whoever did do it got them all, and that was sort of a phew. It would have been embarrassing if they hadn't gotten it.
Okay.
But they were clearly avoiding it.
Great.
Kelly Clarkson, who is unrecognizable these days, she's lost so much weight, it's a little
scary.
She's
on that pill?
I'm sure she is. I believe she is, yes. So she heard that the Des Moines Gay Men's Chorus was doing a performance of all Kelly Clarkson songs. And so she got them to perform on her show, I think long distance on video, and then gave them $1,000. So that was cute.
There's going to be there is an exhibition right now at the Leslie Lohman Museum of Art, which is LGBTQ, in Soho in New York, and I'll link to this, dedicated to the archive of gay and AIDS activist and writer Colin Robinson.
Yes.
Who died in 2021, a friend of ours. It's through July 26th. There are newly commissioned works by five artists.
All right.
I have some other entertainment news.
Okay,
by the way, Netflix's Ripley, starring Andrew Scott, is dropping April 4th. We're Here is back on HBO Max April 26th. Lily Gladstone stars in Under the Bridge on Hulu April 7th. 14th.
And that Julianne Moore thing, Mary and George.
Oh, yeah, that's very gay. That's this weekend.
Yeah.
Friday, I think. Yeah. With Nicholas Galzatine or something.
Yeah, hooks up her son it's with very King gay. James.
With, yeah, James the First.
Yeah, I think so.
Our Town is coming to Broadway, directed by Kenny Leon, starring Jim Parsons, out gay, as the stage manager, also featuring Katie Holmes, Richard Thomas, Julie Halston, and then they're going to have one family's going to be black, one family's going to be white, so it's going to be Michelle Wilson, Ephraim Sykes. I want to recommend a play called Grenfell. I'm not going to go see it again in New York. I saw it in London, but it's at St. Anne's Warehouse starting I think next week. It's about the Grenfell fire that killed 72 people. Doesn't sound very inviting, but it's about the voices of survivors, and it is terrific.
Okay.
You do want some data, given the fact that it's Easter week. This is a survey by the Public Religion Research Institute found that since 2013, the number of self-proclaimed atheists has doubled from 2 to 4%. The religiously unaffiliated rose another 5% to 26%, and just 53% say religion is one of the most important things in their lives, down from 72% in 2013. 67% still identify as Christian.
A whole controversy in the paper today about how the University of South Carolina women's basketball coach, Dawn Staley, who is a genius and a wonderful ex-player and probably will win the tournament, who knows, is very religious with her team and makes them pray and listen to her sermonize, and very discouraging.
Yep. But here's the gay angle. Nearly half of those religiously unaffiliated cite the anti-LGBTQ teachings of their childhood religions as an important reason for not identifying with it any longer, including 60% of those under 30. And as for us, LGBTQ people, 73% of us no longer identify with the religions of our childhood due to anti-LGBTQ teachings.
Well, I guess we're smartening up.
Yeah.
We'll see whether the religions respond. Some of them have, of course. There are, of course, pro-LGBTQ religions.
This survey also found that trans adults fear going to a new health care provider, 73%, using a public bathroom, 68%, and going to non-gay clubs and bars, 64%. So we need to create a better society.
I was reading the, I think, ethicist column in the New York Times about whether someone wrote in to say, should I have spoken up in a situation where I heard someone make a homophobic remark?
Yes.
And well, the answer was yes, but there wasn't sort of the acknowledgement of the nuance of make sure that you're going to be safe in this situation.
Right.
You should assess who is making this statement and what the crowd is like, which I think is important. So I think people who are afraid are often afraid for good reason. You know, next Benedict got beaten up.